Our Old Testament reading, Numbers chapter 28 and verses 1 through 6. Hear the word of God. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say to them, My offering, my food for my offerings made by fire as a sweet aroma to me, you shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed time. And you shall say to them, This is the offering made by fire, which you shall offer to the Lord. Two male lambs in their first year without blemish, day by day, as a regular burnt offering. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer in the evening. And one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil. It is a regular burnt offering, which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Then our New Testament reading this morning, Hebrews 10 and verses 11 through 18. Hebrews chapter 10 and 11 through 18, our text for exposition and application. Again, hear the word of God. And every priest stands ministering daily, and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of sins, remission of these, rather, there is no longer an offering for sin. Thus this reading from God's holy word. Please be seated. The title of the message this morning is The Finished Work of Christ. And how can anyone be a preacher of the gospel and not love to preach on that particular theme? That is a wonderful theme. Well, as we consider it this morning, just consider something with me. Millions of Americans go to work every day at their desk jobs. They sit at their desks in little cubicles, staring at computer screens and using the internet and telephone. They don't have to go out into the field and get dirty or face danger. But there are dangers associated with desk jobs, too. Sitting in the same position all day doing sedentary work can be hard on the spine and result in nerve pain, and there's other problems as well. The problem of using enough calories and getting obese, that would be another problem. But there are even websites, if you look for them, that encourage office workers to get out and exercise as part of their day. Our wise Creator made our bodies to move, and so we should move them if we can. Well, imagine if you think about this concept of desk jobs. Imagine talking to a farmer or a laborer back in Bible times about a desk job. He wouldn't know what you were talking about. He'd probably give you a blank stare. A desk job? Even if there was enough wealth for the farmer to have a desk, he probably couldn't imagine just sitting behind a desk and earning money all day. Well, even up until about 100 years ago, to do a job required movement. It required work. Only when the job was finished could the worker sit down. Our Lord told the story about a man who, when he had come in from the field, would tell his servant, Fix my supper and serve me. Then when I get up from my meal, you can fix something for yourself. The man had worked hard all day in the field. At the end of the day, he just wanted to sit down Well, our text this morning says about Jesus Christ, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Those words, sat down, are very significant. The point is that in contrast to the Levitical priests, who kept having to offer the same sacrifices day after day, Christ's work was finished. He did the work. He accomplished the task that he had come to do, that the Father had sent him into this earth to accomplish. He accomplished it, and then he sat down. He did the work, and he sat down. There was no more to do. The work was finished. Well, when we do a job in this earth, in this world that has been cursed by God because of man's sin, in this earth where there's waste, where there's disintegration, we often will have to do the same job again. We do a job. We fix a meal. Well, in a few hours, we're going to have to fix another meal. We're going to get hungry. The job has to be done all over again. Or perhaps we take out the garbage. Well, there will be more garbage to take out later. We paint the house and wait a few years and the house will have to be painted again. And when we do something, we're used to having to redo it. And so there's something very significant in these words that when Christ had done his high priestly work, he sat down. He was finished with his work. Well, let's consider this finished work of Jesus Christ this morning. By the way, as I said, how can anyone be a preacher of the gospel and not love to preach on this particular topic, the finished work of Jesus Christ? But let's consider it under three aspects this morning. First of all, it is a priestly work. And we see that mostly in verse 12, but I'm going to read 11 along with it. Hebrews 10, beginning at 11, it says, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." You'll notice the contrast between verses 11 and 12. In verse 11, you have the description of the Levitical priests, these priests who did their job under the Old Testament law. And it said that they had to do their jobs repeatedly, over and over. Notice the words that express that idea. Every priest stands in contrast with sitting down, right? Every priest stands. He continues to stand. This is a present tense verb. It implies continues to stand or regularly stands. And then it says he's ministering daily. And of course what that means is day after day. And we read in our Old Testament text this morning in the book of Numbers how there was a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice every single day. So every single day, one of the serving Levitical priests, and we've already talked about this in a previous sermon, they would serve from age 30 to age 50. And so for every one of those days, they would get up in the morning and they didn't have to wonder, well, do I have to offer a sacrifice today? Of course they had to offer a sacrifice today. Every day, day after day, they had to offer these sacrifices. So it says, every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices. Well, the same ones, because they were the sacrifices that God had commanded to be offered. The priests didn't have the liberty of dreaming up other kinds of sacrifices that they could make. I saw a very sad picture this past week, and I forgot just what the occasion was, but there was a picture of a woman, and she's called a solitary Wiccan priest. It was in our paper, our local paper. And there she sat in her backyard at a little handmade altar, and it had different kinds of items on top of the altar. And boy, I don't know if it was for Earth Day or why they had that picture in this particular week's paper. But anyway, there she sat and she was offering up some kind of an offering to the earth. And that's a very, very sad sight. What she has done there, she's a solitary priest. She's not even a part, apparently, of any Wiccan church of any kind. She's just on her own, decided that this must be some way of pleasing the earth. And so she has made up her own little sacrifices that she offers. Well, the priests under the Old Testament didn't offer sacrifices that they made up. As a matter of fact, when two of the sons of Aaron tried to do that, Nadab and Abihu, they were struck down with fire from heaven. So they were offering the gifts and the sacrifices that God had told them to offer. And it says, every priest stands and ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, that is, the sacrifices God said to offer. You've heard the little song, "Give Me That Old Time Religion." It was good for my mother, it was good for my father. Well, the priest could say that in a certain sense. Give me those old sacrifices that God commanded. We're going to just keep on offering those. And then it says, which can never take away sins. These sacrifices, it was acknowledged, even under the Old Testament, they could never take away sin. And of course, the biblical teaching is that they covered it over. They covered over our sins until the time that Christ would come and He would offer Himself as a sacrifice once for all at the end of time. And so notice then the contrast with verse 11. The Old Testament priest offers his sacrifices over and over, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. What a wonderful, wonderful text. And as the writer to the Hebrews makes the point in the rest of our text this morning, this is for us as well. Notice in verse 15, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. And so what the author to the Hebrews is saying here is there's an application. There's an application for us as well. True preaching, by the way, is the exposition and application of Holy Scripture. It's the reading and the proclaiming of the message of Scripture, and then it's applying that that application. It's applying that Scripture to the needs of the hearers. So here, the author to the Hebrews says, there's something for us as well. The Holy Spirit is witnessing to us. This isn't just an ancient history lesson. This isn't just telling us about the interesting work that the Old Testament priests did day after day when they offered those morning and evening sacrifices. There's something for us as well. And that something is a wonderful something, as you can see in verse 18. Now where there is remission, that is, sins being sent away, being taken away from us, sins being forgiven. And verse 17, sins no longer being remembered. There's clearly an application for us as well. Well, here then is the priestly work of Jesus Christ. By the way, let's take a look at that Old Testament text just for a moment. And you don't need necessarily to turn back, although you can if you want. We have that in Numbers 28, verses 1 through 6. And notice the time words that we have in that text. It says, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say to them. In other words, this wasn't just Moses' big idea. This is God getting a hold of this unwilling man, this man that he sent to Pharaoh. And he said, I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to tell him, let my people go. And Moses said, can't you please choose somebody else, somebody that's more eloquent than I am? This unwilling man, God got a hold of him and he commanded him and he told him to tell his people all of these things. So here's what he says, command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering, this is God speaking here, my offering, my food for my offerings made by fire as a sweet aroma to me, you shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed time. Notice that time phrase. These sacrifices had to be offered at the appointed time. In other words, if you grew up back then and you were in the family of Levi and you were one of the Levitical priests, you couldn't say, well, I'm just not a morning person. I think I'll offer my sacrifice a little later in the day when it's more convenient for me. No, they had to be offered at their appointed time. There had to be that morning sacrifice, that evening sacrifice. So notice these sacrifices, my offerings, plural, my offerings made by fire as a sweet aroma to me. You should be careful to offer to me at their appointed time when I tell you to offer them. Verse 3, and you shall say to them, this is the offering made by fire which you shall offer to the Lord. Two male lambs in their first year without blemish. Day by day, there's another time word. Day by day, every single day. You can't miss a day. You can't say, out of the office, on vacation, business closed until June 15th. You couldn't say that kind of thing. It had to be offered day by day as a regular, there's another time word, a regular burnt offering. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning. The other lamb you shall offer in the evening. 365 days. That's over 700 lambs every year that would be offered for the people of Israel. But this is just the beginning, by the way. There were others even beyond these. But here the emphasis is on the day-by-day offerings. One lamb offered in the morning, the other offered in the evening. And then notice in verse 6, it says it is a regular burnt offering. Again, a time word. A regular burnt offering which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. How many times have we ever walked into a kitchen and something is cooking and probably there's some hamburger frying or there's something in a pan and some meat is being cooked and we come into the kitchen and we say to the cook, boy, it smells good in here. Well, that's what God would say in a certain sense when He smelled the offerings. Now, I realize that there's... That God doesn't have a nose, strictly speaking. He's not a physical being such as we are. But here is anthropomorphic and anthropopathic language. In other words, speaking about how God thinks and how God acts in using human terms. So this is a sweet aroma in the nostrils of God. It's an offering made by fire to the Lord. Well, see the contrast then. The Old Testament sacrifices had to be offered at their appointed time, day after day. Regular burnt offerings, morning and evening, over and over and over again, at the time that God appointed. And then we get to the next verse. But this man, clearly Jesus Christ, the translators of the New King James Version have put it in capital letters, this man, capital M-A-N, but even without that, you know that that's Jesus Christ. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. Now imagine if you had been a Jew in the first century receiving this letter to the Hebrews. Surely what I have just been reading from the book of Numbers was a part of your daily experience. You could remember going to the temple and seeing the priests offering those sacrifices. And so when the author says, every priest stands ministering, you could relate to that. Yes, I've seen that. Of course, this is part of my background. Many, many times I've seen that priest up there standing and ministering in the name of God. And then the contrast would be very striking. But this man, Jesus Christ, this one whom you cannot see, and yet you still love Him, and you're coming to worship Him in this gathering of His people. You don't have all of the beauty of the temple any longer. You don't have all of the bells and whistles and the smells and all of the ceremonies that are going on in the temple. But this man, I'm going to tell you, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. His work was finished. He was like that farmer coming in from the field. His work was done at the end of the day, and now he wanted to sit down and enjoy the fruit of his labors and enjoy a meal. He sat down. His work was finished. Well, where did he sit? He sat at the right hand of the throne of God. So notice then to what honor Christ as man and mediator is exalted. Here now, brothers and sisters, we have one of us, one who became man like you and me, and he has human blood coursing in his vein, and now he's exalted to the right hand of God the Father, one of us up there. He's at the universal seat of power. He's at the place of highest honor in the universe. Nobody could be honored more than this. Jesus Christ sits now in bodily form at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And by the way, Christ achieved this honor not merely by the gift of his Father, but by his own excellency and merit. And so he ascended to heaven, and he now sat down his high priestly work of atoning for our sins is completed. So there in heaven, even now, he executes the office of a priest on our behalf. Think of the wonderful words in the Shorter Catechism. It's not biblical. I mean, it's not Bible language, but it's a summary of Bible language. Christ executeth the office of a priest. Praise the Lord. That's what he's doing. In his once offering up of himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and to reconcile us to God, and in making continual intercession for us. So it is a priestly work. It's on behalf of you and me, and we need a priest. And he's the perfect priest. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he represents what he has done in his atoning work while he was here on earth. And he takes our prayer requests to the Father. All the favors that God bestows on his people. And he's given us all things, the Bible says, all things that pertain to life and godliness, all the favors that he bestows on his people are handed to us by Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. Secondly, this morning I want you to see that it's a perfecting work. It's a priestly work. It's a perfecting work. Look at verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Our Lord Jesus Christ's work is a perfecting work. Think of what this means. By one offering, by once going to the cross and enduring that incomprehensible suffering that he endured, he has perfected us. Here's the doctrine of Christian perfection. We have another word for this. Sometimes we call it sanctification. That's a Bible word. Sanctification is that ongoing work that God does in our lives. He's already sent his Son, and his Son has died on the cross on our behalf. He's paid for our sins, but now he's perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Well, here, in a certain sense, this is jumping ahead to the end of time. We look at one another and we think, I'm not very perfect. The people of my church are not very perfect. And even though here we are, those who are trusting in Jesus Christ for our salvation, those whose sins are washed away by the blood of Christ, yet we still, each one of us, have to battle daily against sin in our lives. I look in the mirror and I think, I'm not perfect yet. Why can't I be more like Jesus? Why do I still have to deal with a temper, with rage that rises up within me? Why do I still have to deal with the memory of things that are left undone that I ought to do? Why do I still have to deal with the memory of my sins which are daily and ever before me, as the psalmist puts it in Psalm 51. And yet the Bible says that he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. What this is saying is that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need to go to the cross and redo his sacrifice in order to sanctify us. Well, I mentioned under point one that it's a priestly work, that he offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And of course, we know that there are those, even within the bounds of Christendom, that do seem to deny this once-for-all aspect of his work. There are those that believe that when people come and see the priest performing what they call the sacrifice of the Mass, that they're actually watching the priest re-sacrifice Jesus Christ. What does that do to this language? Perfected forever. Or then there are those that teach that during the thousand-year millennial reign that is still future, that animal sacrifices are going to be offered all over again. And they'll say, well, it's only for a memorial. But what does this do to this language? He's offered one sacrifice for sins forever. That one sacrifice that we remember when we have the Lord's Supper. Well, now he says, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And what this tells us is that he's going to carry out that work. He's going to complete that work on our behalf. I don't perfectly resemble Jesus Christ in every respect. I have to admit, I still have daily failings. And yet I know that because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, that work is going to be complete one day. Even as it says in the book of Philippians, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the mark, toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And as the Apostle Paul would say it in another place, he is laboring until Christ be formed in the lives of those whom he is discipling. So his finished work is a perfecting work. By the work which he accomplished, he offers himself to us. He intercedes on our behalf and he sanctifies us till the last day. Thirdly, I want you to see this morning, it's a purifying work. In verse 16, he's quoting from Jeremiah chapter 31, and it's an extended quote, and it's an important quote. He says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds, I will write them." Do you know, even though you struggle with sin, even though you struggle with temptation, even though it pains you that your life doesn't perfectly represent the Lord Jesus Christ at this particular time, that he has put his laws into your heart, he's written them on your minds. This is why we could say, in the words of the Psalms that have already been read this morning, that, Lord, help me to delight in your law. We read from Psalm 119. Let me just go back and reread that. Here's what it says. We read this in unison as a people this morning. It says, "Give me understanding and I will keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." Why do we delight in it? Here's the reason. God has put his laws into our hearts and he's written them in our minds. Well, you know, the Bible tells us also in Psalm 119, it says that we are to hide God's word in our hearts. It says in Psalm 119, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." But here, it's not talking about what we do. I've hidden God's law in my heart. But it's talking about what God does. I will put my laws into their hearts. In the language of computer programming, it's like reprogramming a computer to do a different task. our lives have been reprogrammed to follow God's will, to delight to do His will in our lives. What a wonderful text, then. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. I will reprogram them to do my holy will. His work is a purifying work. Whereas before, we used to sin and we used to enjoy it. Now we can't enjoy it when we sin. We have to go to the Lord and we have to confess our sins. And we have to say to Him, Lord, I've sinned against You. I've broken Your holy law. I'm grieved. I know You're grieved, but I'm grieved too. That work that our Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross purifies us and enables us to live pure lives before the Lord. So Christ's work is finished. It's a priestly work. It's a perfecting work. It's a purifying work. He completed His atoning work. He sat down to enjoy the fruit of His work. His work was finished. There's nothing more than for you and me to do but to put our trust in His finished work. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot do anything in His presence that will merit eternal life. But we must put our trust in His finished work. Thank God for this great contrast. The Old Testament priests, they stand ministering. They offer over and over those sacrifices, but Christ, when He had offered Himself, sat down. His work was finished. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Heavenly Father, oh, we thank You for the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. Thank You, Lord, that He did not need a dress rehearsal. Thank You that He didn't have to have take one and take two and more retakes in order to get it right. Thank You, Lord, that He came to this earth. Thank You that He lived a perfect life in accordance with Your holy law. Thank You, Lord, that He never said one word that He would later regret. Thank You, Lord, that every word that came out of His mouth was perfect, just the right word, the word fitly spoken on that particular occasion. Thank You, Lord, for His incomparable teachings, and thank You, Lord, that we can read and study and reflect upon them and put them into practice, put them into application in our own lives. Lord, we do thank You that He went to the cross. Thank You, Lord, that He did His work and He got it right the first time. Thank You, Lord, that He could say in all truthfulness before He bowed His head and gave up the ghost, He could say, "It is finished." Oh, Lord, we thank You for the finished work of Christ. We thank You that our salvation doesn't depend upon our daily performance, but it depends upon what Jesus Christ did once. Oh Lord, thank You for the work of Christ. Thank You for His priestly work. Thank You for His perfecting work. Thank You for His purifying work. Lord, perfect us. Purify us. Make us more and more after the character of Jesus Christ, our Savior. May people see Christ in us. May they desire to be reconciled to God as they see our lives. We pray these things now in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.